Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Yud Dalet, and we are 30 lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amid Beis V'rochatz V'sochat V'samt Simloy Sayach. Today's daf is being learned as a Zuchus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Sara Aliza, Avram ben Gittel, Avram Kaddish ben Malka Bela, Avram Yukasil ben Gittel, Chana Gittel bas Brindel, Rafal Chaim Shayoshev ben Baba Chaya Rivka, Tzvi ben Hinda, Yehuda Leib Chizkiyo ben Basya, Chaim ben Yom Mordechai ben Ida, Chizki Yishlom Yizizkin ben Nechama, Yosef Tzvi ben Chana Henela, Yitzchak ben Yomin ben Sara Fremet, Yerachmil Tzvi Moshe ben Chana, Harav Chaim Doiv ben Kreindel, Yael bas Bela, Shoshana Tova bas Esther, Michal Shoshana bas Tova Hadasa, and Chavesero bas Chana Freida. Today's daf is also being learned to Ilui Nishmas, Yechil Yosef ben Tzvi Betzalel, Shloim Mezev ben Avram Yitzchak, Mordechai Zizkin ben Meir Ochanan, and Baruch Tzvi ben Ephraim Zalman Halevi. So the topic of the end of the previous daf was the pasuk in Yeshaya Perik Nunches pasuk Yud Gimel. The pasuk says, "Im Toshiv Mishavas Raglecho," if somebody is going to overcome his temptation to defile Shabbos, he'll want to go outside the tchum, but then he's going to return, knowing that it's Shabbos today. Asoyis chafotzecha b'yayin kachi. If someone is going to refrain from doing melacha on Shabbos, v'karasu l'Shabbos oynig, oynig Shabbos, v'ktoish Hashem mechubit, he'll be mechabed the Shabbos. V'chibadetoy, the Gemara says, he's going to put on special clothing for Shabbos. Me'asoyis drochecha, he's going to walk differently on Shabbos. Mimtsoy cheftzecha, he's not going to do business on Shabbos. V'daber dover, says Rabbeinu Tam, he's not going to talk too much on Shabbos. What? Oz tesana gal Hashem, the pasuk says, he's going to merit tremendous bracha. In fact, he'll get the bracha of Yaakov Avinu, who faratz the yom of a kedma, tzafoyna v'negba. He's going to have nachla b'li mitzarm. Either way, the Gemara mentioned that there's an idea to wear special clothing on Shabbos, and from there, the Gemara is going to digress a little bit into the idea of big day Shabbos. And the Gemara begins its digression with a pasuk in Sefer Rus, Paragimel Pasagimel. So the context is that Rus decided to be Megayer. She went along with her mother-in-law, Naomi. She was not married. Her husband had died. And Naomi wanted her to be set up. Now, Naomi knew that there was a distant relative, Boaz, who was the Gadol Adar. He was also the Rosh HaKol. He was very wealthy. And Naomi wanted to set up Rus to meet Boaz, because she believed that when Boaz met Rus, he would marry her, he would do Yibum. Regardless, Naomi tells Rus exactly what she should do, how she should dress, when she should arrive, where she should arrive, so that Boaz will see her, hoping that Boaz will choose to marry her, and that Boaz will eventually be Miyabim her. So the pasuk says, Berachatz v'sochat v'samtsim loisayach. Naomi tells Rus, you should bathe, you should smear yourself with oil, you should put on very nice clothing. What were these nice clothing that Naomi wanted Rus to wear? Amar Rabbi Elazar said, Ela begadim shal Shabbos. She told her, wear your Shabbos begadim, says the Gemara. Tein l'chacham v'yech gamoy. Shloim HaMelech said that in Mishlei. Amar Rabbi Elazar, zu Rusu me'aviyah v'shmul haramasi. There are two examples of inach, of someone that was tein l'chacham v'yech gamoy. Who is that Rus? You find this by Rus Diglo. Naomi Kamer, but Naomi told Rus, v'rachatz v'sa Naomi told Rus that first you should prepare yourself and then you should go into the field, and that's where you're going to meet Boaz. What did Rus do? First she went to the field, and only afterwards, it was only afterwards that she put on her Shabbos begadim. Now, what was the reason for this? So the reason she did this, said Rashi, is because she was afraid that if she would go to the field at night looking, you know, really nice, people may accuse her of being a zayna. So that she shouldn't be accused of being a zayna, so she did it a little differently than what Naomi told her to do. Tein l'chacham, but v'yech gam oid. A chacham takes information and doesn't necessarily follow it to the T, but sometimes is able to build on it. And that's what Rus did. Rus took the concept from Naomi, but ultimately she did it in a way where nobody would accuse her of maybe doing something wrong. Shmuel, where do you find this by Shmuel? Dilu Eli Kamale, Eli told Shmuel. Now the context is the first time Shmuel ever had Nevuah. So Shmuel hears voices, he doesn't know exactly what it is, and this is when Shmuel, for the first time, is going to merit communication from Hashem. So the pasuk says that Eli told Shmuel, Shchav, lie down. Vayim yikrei lecha. If a voice is going to call out to you, Vamerta, you should say, Daber Hashem, ki shemei avdecha. Now, v'ilu b'didei, what did Shmuel do? Ksiv, the pasuk says, Vayavoy Hashem, vayisiatzi, vayikro kifam bifam. Shmuel, Shmuel, vayim Shmuel, Daber, ki shemei avdecha. V'loy omar Daber Hashem. Now, he didn't say Daber Hashem. What did Eli tell Shmuel to do? If you're going to hear voices, the first Nevuah he ever had, you should say, Daber Hashem, ki shmoya avdecha. But that's not what Shmuel did. Shmuel said, Daber, ki shmoya avdecha. He left out a word. The word he left out was Daber Hashem. Why did he leave out Daber Hashem? The reason is because he was afraid that maybe it's really not the Shekhinah and he's going to use Hashem's name in vain. He wasn't just saying Daber Hashem, Daber Havayo. And he felt that that's not something that's appropriate. So Eli was Tein L'Chacham, but Shmuel was V'yech Gamoit. So we mentioned Shabbos clothing. Who wore Shabbos clothing? Rus, with her encounter with Boaz. So now we're going to digress from our digression a little bit, and we're going to talk about the story where Rus meets Boaz for the first time. So she went to the field, and she was being malakit. She was gathering things. She came and she went, she came and she went. Vatelech would be enough. Vatove would be enough. What's Vatelech Vatove? It sounds like she arrived, and then she went back, and then she arrived again. She didn't want to go by herself because of tznius. And she also didn't want to go with people that weren't appropriate because of tznius. So she waited until there was the right group of people for her to go to the field with. And he asks the Chevra, who's this girl? Boaz is the God of Adar. Why was Boaz asking about Rus? The reason he asked about it is because he saw that she wasn't just an ordinary woman. She was a milumedes. There was something very smart about her. Why? Because he noticed that she knew the laws of leket. Shnei shibalim likta. She took two shibalim, but shalosh shibalim ain't likta. But she didn't take three shibalim. So Boaz saw in that this is a wise woman, and he had to know who she was because he felt that there was something special about Masisatana. Bryce had a different reason why Boaz asked about her. Dvar tznius rabba. He saw tznius. When she was standing up and sitting down, she was doing it in a way that it would beat Sneostig. So again, Boaz saw something special about Rus, more from a spiritual perspective, and that's the reason that he asked about it. So Boaz tells Rus, I want you to, you can join my Na'orois. There are women that are here and they work in my field, and you should be together with them. Like, I have my women, and you should become part of this chevra. Sounds a little prust. Now, what it means is as follows. Because Boaz heard that Rus was Megayer. And when the Pasuk describes the Geiris of Rus, it says, V'Rus Dafkaba, that she was mistabik in her mother-in-law. Amar, he said, Shari lid bukeba, meaning he was invoking the chaysid bakin, the verus dafkaba, and he realized that she's a special woman, and that's why he was being makarifer. The Marsha says that the reason the Gemara had a problem with this pasuk, the chaysid bakin, it's a little unclear, pashup shat, what's bothering the Gemara so much? He says, because the word vidavak, that word veikos, very often you find in the context of zivug between a man and a woman. V'davak b'ishtoy. He brings another example of this as well. So v'chaysid bakum was like an arayas word. And that's what was bothering the Gemara, and that was the Gemara's teretz. You're right. The reason Boaz used that phrase is not because of v'davak b'ishtoy, not because of the arayas connotation, but rather v'rus dafkaba, that was the ma'ilo of Rus. V'yemil Boaz, eso eichel goyshi haloi. I want you to come here at night. Amar b'loza, remez remez, why use the word Adlaim. I see the Malchus Beis David Latsif Tumech. He's coming to tell her that one day you're going to be the matriarch of Malchus Beis David. Dechsiv Haloim. By Malchus Beis David, you find the word Haloim. Shema V'yavi HaMelech David. Vayeshev Lifnei Hashem. Vayoyme Mi Anoichi Hashem Elokim Mi Beisi Ki Havisani Ad Haloim. It's when David HaMelech is going to become king. He says, I became Ad Haloim. Haloim, you see, was the word that described the onset of Malchus Beis David. And that's why Boaz used this word. V'taval Pitech Bachoymetz. So Boaz tells Rus, you should make yourself hamish. You should take your bread and you should dip it into vinegar. Amar Rabbi Loza said, Mikan shahachoymetz yafal asharev. You see that if it's hot outside, vinegar is good. Shomar Chmini Amar Remez Ramazla. Azid bein lotzeis mimeich shemaisav koshim kechoymetz. He was telling you that one day you're going to have a descendant who's going to do aveiros. It's going to be so terrible. Mamish, he's going to be vinegar. Umanu, who was vinegar? Who's this chometz that descended from David HaMelech? Menashe. Vatesha mitzad ha-koytzer. She said on the side of the koytzer. Oma b'loza mitzad ha-koytzer v'loy b'teich ha-koytzer. It says on the side, not amongst the koytzer. What was the significance of that? Remez Ramaz al shasid ha-malchus beis David shetezchalik. That one day Malchus beis David was going to be divided in the times of Rechavim ben Shloimo and Yeravim ben Avot. That's mitzad. Sad hakoytzum, not betoicha koytzum. Vayitzpat lo koli vatoicha. Rabbi Lozer. Rabbi Lozer said the pasuk says vayitzpat lo koli vatoicha vatispa vatoisa. So this is describing Rus eating these toasted grains, but it says vatoicha she ate vatispa she was satisfied vatoisa was leftovers. So what are these three lashonis? Rabbi Lozer. Rabbi Lozer said vatoicha bimei David vatispa bimei Shloimei vatoisa bimei Chizkiyo. This was a remez to three tkufos where her descendants, as in the kings of Klal Yisrael, were going to merit Ashiras, where people would give, just like Rus is getting now from Boaz, one day her descendants are going to get gifts as well. David HaMelech received gifts from foreign kings, so did Shloimeh and so did Chizkiyo. Ikadami, some say, Vatoicha bimei David bimei Shloimeh, Vatizba bimei Chizkiyo, Vatoisar bimei Rebbe. Rebbe was also very wealthy. Amar Mar, Ar Huryore de Rebbe, Hava Oser Mishvar Malka. The person who took care of the horses of Rebbe was wealthier than the Shvar Malka. We know about Rebbe's Ashirus, the Gemara talks about it in many places. And if although Rebbe said Bishas Moise, he lifted his fingers and he said he wasn't netzpa min ha'olam hazeh, he wasn't nenem min ha'olam hazeh, afilu ke'etzpa ketana. But at the same time, wealthy he definitely was, and that's literally like a king. David, Shloimei, Chizkiyo, and Rebbe as well. Masis Tana Brice had a different shot. Vatoichal means ba'olam hazeh. Vatizba is referring to Liyamois HaMashiach. Vatoisar is referring to Lasad Lavi. We'll get back to this in the end of the da. So, Akhti Gemara, a little bit more Haggadah. Vatachas kvoido yekad, yekoid, ki yekoid age. So the context is Sancheriv. Sancheriv was the king of Ashur, the king of Assyria, and him and his army decided to launch an attack on the Yidden. And the odds of the Yidden being able to make it out alive from this attack was very, very daunting. It happened on Leil Pesach. Kadosh Baruch Hu performed a miracle, and the entire army of Sancheriv, hundreds of thousands of people, were completely wiped out. In fact, historically, after the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim, this was probably the next greatest miracle of all time that happened to the Jewish people. We say this at the Leil HaSeder, Vayi B'chatzi HaLaila, and this is one of the things that happened B'Leil HaPesach. So the pasuk over there is describing how Sancheriv's army was completely obliterated. And it says, V'tachas kevoidai, underneath Sancheriv's kovid, Yekad Yekoid Ki Yekoidesh. These are all words of fire. So there was a fire that took them out. But the fire was tachas kevoidai. What does that mean? I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, V'tachas kevoidai, V'loi kevoidai mamesh. Tachas kevoidai means that their bodies burned, but their clothing didn't burn. Well, what does that have to do with anything? Rabbi Yochanan tameh. Rabbi Yochanan kari l'moni mechabdoisai. Rabbi Yochanan, we saw this earlier, he used to refer to his clothing as the things that were mechabed him. So Rabbi Yochanan l'shitasai held that kevoidai, the word kevoidai, the word is referring to clothing. So what's tachas kevoidai? That's the body. It's underneath the clothing. So the tachas kevoidai, yekad yekoid ki koidesh, is referring to the bodies of all these Assyrians. This is what God put. Rabbi Lazar has a different shot. The tachas kevoidai, tachas kevoidai mamish. He understood that kevoidai doesn't mean clothing, but rather kevoidai means the body. But tachas, according to Rabbi Lazar, doesn't mean underneath. Rather, what tachas means is in lieu. In other words, b'mokoyim, where kvoidai was, now there was a fire. Again, the same point and the same punchline as Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, what did the pasuk mean when it describes the way the army of Sancheriv was defeated? V'sachas kvoidai yekad yekoid ki kodesh. It means that the bodies were destroyed. The bodies were consumed by fire. Rabbi Yochanan learned it because tachas kvoidai, kvoidai means the clothing, tachas means underneath. Rabbi Loza got to the same destination, but he took a different route. He said tachas doesn't mean underneath, tachas means in place, kvoidai doesn't mean clothing. Kvoidai means the body. Same difference. It's the bodies that ultimately were burned. Shmuel Nachmeni Amar, Tachas Kvoidai, Kisreifas Bnei Aharon. You know what Tachas Kvoidai means? It means something else. He already had a different understanding of the story. He had a different rest of the story. It wasn't the bodies that were burned.
It wasn't the clothing that was burnt, like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yochanan said, but rather it was the neshamas that were burnt. In fact, the bodies remained intact. It was only the neshamas that were burnt. Just like Sreifas Bnei Aharon. Malahal, Sreifas Neshama V'Gufkan, just like Bnei Aharon, Nadav and Aviu, the first day that the Mishkan was built, Vayibayeh Mashmini, when they were burnt because of the Eish Zara, what happened? The neshamas were burnt, but the Gufas Kain, Afkan Soto over here, Sreifas Neshama V'Gufkan, this was the same thing. Just as far as Pshat in the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni learned that kvoidoi means the body, like Rabbi Lazar, but tachas means underneath, like Rabbi Yochanan. So just as far as the pshat in the pasuk, tachas kvoidoi, we have a three-way machloikis. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, and Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. As far as practically speaking, what happened to the army of Sancheriv, that's only a two-way machloikis. Three-way machloikis, how to learn the pasuk. Two-way machloikis in terms of what physically happened. Either the bodies were consumed or the neshama was consumed. But one thing is clear, the clothing wasn't consumed. Amar Rabbi Acha, Baraba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, how do you know that it's appropriate to change clothing? Meaning, maybe a person just should have a pair of clothing and he should run with it for life. How do you know there's a concept of different clothing depending on the situation? So this is a member from Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, Shenemar, it's learned out from a pasuk, ufashat es begadav, the lavash begadim acherim. So this is referring to the kohen who had to take the deshen, he had to take all the ashes, the quote unquote garbage. Chazal referred to that as, but really it wasn't. This is the deshen of the karbanos, but it was his job to take it outside of the azara. And the pasuk says that being that it was on some level a derogatory job, so he wasn't allowed to do it with his regular pigday kahuna. Ufashat es begadav, he had to take off his clothing. Vilavash begadav acherim, and only then was it appropriate. What's the kohen putting on clothing? He's taking off clothing. But if clothing don't matter, then why are we making such a big deal about the kohen's clothing? His v'tanit Rabbi Shmuel, they learned in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, limdechatayr derech eretz begadav shabishalem keder l'rabbi al yimzamem kais l'rabbi, that if you cook with a certain pair of clothing, you get it all dirty and messy, it's not appropriate to serve the melech that way. So the same clothing that the kohen used to do the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, he couldn't use to remove the deshen either way. So this is this idea, you find shinui begadim min ha-Torah. Amar Rab Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rab Yochanan, G'nai hu l'tamud chacham, sheyetzei b'min olam ha-metulam lashor. That it's not okay for a Talmud Chacham to wear shoes that are patched up. Freik to Gemov, Rab Acha bar Chanina Nofak, he was a Talmud Chacham, Amar Rab Acha b'reid Rab Nachman, betloy al-gabi tloy. You're right, to have a patch is okay, but to have a patch, al-gabi patch, that's already not okay. Amar Rab Chiya bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, a very famous Gemara, called Talmud Chacham in Ravav al Bigdoy. If a Talmud Chacham has a stain on his beged, Ravav literally means a stain that comes from grease. But the point is, as in G-R-E-A-S-E, not G-R-E-E-C-E. But a stain on his beged, Chayiv Misa, he's Chayiv. So a Talmud Chacham that has a stain on his beged is Chayiv Misa, Shenemar, Kol Misanai Ohavu Moves, Al Tikri Misanai Ela Masniai. That if somebody says Hashem causes people to hate me, that person is Ohavu Moves. This person is going to be Chayiv Misa. Now a Talmud Chacham is someone that's in the, you know, people look at. And because people look at him, if he's not going to look nice, if he's going to have a revav al bigdai, so what are people going to say? I don't want to be a Talmud Chacham. I'm not interested in being that way. So a Talmud Chacham has a responsibility. And because of the Talmud Chacham's responsibility, if he now has a revav al bigdai, he's going to be chayv. Ravina, Ravina says revav, revad itmar. So this is the lesser known girsa in this Gemara. Not revav reish veiz veiz, but rather revad reish veiz dalet. Now what does that mean? Revad is shichva zera. But the Gemara says, v'loi pligi, there's really no machlokes. Haba glima, haba levusha. If it's on his shirt, the shirt is visible. So over there, even a revav is going to be an issue. If it's on his pants, maybe something that's less visible, then a revav, just a stain, is not going to be an issue. But over there, if it's going to be a stain, that shichva zera, that's going to be an issue. Omer Rabbi Chiya Rabban, Rabbi Yochanan, Amai, Dixim, Kachaholach, Abdi Yishayo, Oroim, V'yochev, Tender Pasek, Yishol, Yishonim. So Yishayo went 3 years, he was Oroim, V'yochev, didn't put on clothing, he didn't wear shoes for 3 years, that can't be. So the Gemara says, Aroi means b'begadim b'luim, v'yachav means b'menuloim ha-metulam. It doesn't mean that he wasn't wearing clothing, it just means that he wasn't dressed in a certain way. So just before we go weiter, just one Aroi. So the Gemara says, a famous Gemara, Amrab Chiya Barab, Amrab Yoichanan, Kol Tamud Chacham Shenimtzu Revav Al-Bigdoi, is Chayev Misa. Why would it be Chayev Misa? Shenema, the Pasuk says, Kol Mesanai Ohavu Moves, Al-Tikri Mesanai Elam Asniyai, that if a person person is a Talmud Chacham and he wears dirty clothing, so people are going to look at him and they're going to think that this is what a Talmud Chacham is like, and this is what it means to learn Torah. And he may not want to learn Torah. So here the Talmud Chacham learns Torah, but he may be causing other people to not learn Torah. And that's not good. So Mikol Mesanai Avumades Altikri Mesanai Elamasi. It's interesting. Who said this? Rabbi Yochanan is the one that said it. And the truth is that if you take an inventory of some of these memories that we just had, all about clothing, it's all Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was the one that used to refer to his clothing as the things that were mechabed him. Rabbi Yochanan kari lemane mechabdoisai. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Binayin l'shinu begadim min atayra." How do you know that min atayra? There's an idea of wearing the appropriate clothing to for the appropriate task. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Gnayhu l'tamud chacham sheyetze b'menolim hametulam lashok." And then Rabbi Yochanan said, "Kol tamud chacham shenimtzer ravav al bigdai chayim misa." So it's all Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan. He seemed to have been extra sensitive to a Talmud Chacham looking in a nice way. Now everyone knows that the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan was the most handsome man of his generation. Shufre de Rabbi Yochanan was Me'ein Shufre. We've spoken about that many times over the years. But here you have Rabbi Yochanan that was very makbid. He felt not only was he physically, naturally handsome, but it was something that was very important to him. It's clear from these Gemaras that a Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Yochanan, was of the opinion, had to look a certain way. It's interesting, Rabbeinu Yoin in Shari Tshuva, in Shar Shlishi, it's in Sif Katan Kuf Yud Gimel. He brings this Gemara and he puts it together with another Gemara. He brings two Gemaras together. He causes people not to love the Torah. And then he brings one other Gemara, a class. We'll just read the Gemara and go weiter. If someone learns Torah, the dibure benachas amabrios, and he talks nicely to people, umekchay umatnay b'shok noa, v'noisen v'amuna, and he's erlich in business. Ma'abrios amirzola. What do people say about him? Ashrei ava v'imay shelimdu loy Torah. Ashrei ava v'imay that taught him Torah. Oylem lebnei adam sheloy lamdu Torah. Wow, when you see someone like that, it makes people that don't look Torah look bad. Ploini shelamat Torah reisim kameyofim drachav v'kamem esukanim masav olav akosav oymer v'yomer li avdiyata yisrael asher b'chol espar. As much adam kari v'shoyin, but if a person learns Torah, ve'in dibur benachsam abrios, ve'in mekri mat tane b'shuk noa, ve'in enoisim v'noisim b'emuna, ma abrios oymer zolav. What are people going to say then? Oylei leploini shelamat Torah. Oylei the rabbi lovav shelim. Imagine a person can actually behave in a certain way that people will say, "Ashrei bnei adam sheloi lamdu Torah." Ploini shalom atayra reisim kamen mechuarim myself kamen mekul kolim drachav olav akasav oimer vayichalul hashem kachi beemer lehem amashem meila umeyarze yotzol. A classic Gemara Yumadaf Pevavim and Aleph. So this is the whole Kuf Yud Gimel and Shar Shlishi of Rabbeinu Yoina. He says a Talmud Chacham has to conduct himself in a certain way. How do I know? Two Gemaras. Shabbos Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. This is the Gemara that we just learned. And Yuma Daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph. That's the Gemara that we just mentioned. Either way. So on this note, on the note of a stain, specifically that a Talmud Chacham has to be very careful not to have a stain on his beged. Who said it? Rabbi Yochanan said it. He was so sharp was Rabbi Yochanan. He said that a Talmud Chacham that doesn't dress nicely is Chayev Misa. Says the Gemara Tanan Hossam. We learned in a Mishnah Mesachtes Mikvois. Revav Ala Merdas. So the context over there is a beged or a keli that has a stain on it. So if it has a stain on it, it's considered a chatzitza, and it's not so simple in terms of being able to be toivel. Now the truth is, midday raisa, hilchis chatzitza is pretty straightforward. The halacha is that something's called a chatzitza if it can check off two boxes. You have to meet two criteria. Number one, the chatzitza has to cover the majority of the beged. So if it covers the majority of the beged, then it's potentially a chatzitza. The other thing is it has to be something that people are makbid on, something people care. So if you have this stain, you would send it to the cleaners, and it's the majority of the beged, you care about it, that's why you're sending it to the cleaners, it covers the majority of the beged, that's when you have this halacha. If, however, it's not roiv of the beged, or it's roiv but people aren't makbid, then you don't have this halacha. Stating that, the chachamim entered, and the chachamim said, no, you don't need both. even one of the Tanayim, that's enough. If it covers majority of the Beged, even if people aren't Makbid, it's going to be an issue. And if it's something that people are Makbid, even if it's not the majority of the Beged. So it's in that context, the Takonas Chachamim, the rabbinic definition of what a Chatzitza is that we have this Mishnah. Revav, if you have a little bit of grease, ala mardas, that's on this Beged that they used to put on donkeys, so the Allah is Chaitzitz, it's going to be Chaitzitz. Shem Gamli Lamer, Shem Gamli says, not so fast. Ad ki Isar Italki, only if it's the size of an Isar Ha'italki. Where else is the Isar Italki mentioned? Kedushin Daf Beis Amud Aleph. The first Mishnah Masechet is Kedushin. Va'ala Begadim, if it's on a Beged, Mitzad Echad Eni Chaitzitz, if the stain can only be seen on one side, it's not a problem. Mishnei Tzadim, but if it penetrated, it's like a deep embedded stain that it goes through and through the Beged, Chaitzitz, then it's going to be a Chatzitza. Rabbi Huda, Imer, Mishum, Rabbi Shmuel, Af Mitzad Echad Chaitzitz. Even if it's only on one side, it's going to be a Chatzitza. Boy, Mei Rabbi Shmuel Ben Lakish, Mei Rabbi Chanina, Mardas Mitzad Echad, Oy Mishnei Tzadim. So when it came to a Beged, we had a discussion in the Mishnah. One side, two sides. By Mardas, it didn't say anything about one side or two sides. We discussed the size of it. Revav, a stain, on a Mardas is Chaitzitz. Shem Gamliel said, only if it's the size of an Isar Italki. But it didn't say anything about, if it's a chatzitza, even if it's on one side, or is it only a chatzitza that penetrated? If it's on both sides, so amale, so bechatina Torah Shlokish. I'll tell you the truth, zulay shamati. I don't know, but kiyaytzeba shamati. I have a comparable. I have something similar that I heard, and maybe this could help us. Now we learn to the Mishnah, and that same Mishnah mikvayis. Rabbi Yosi said shel banoim, a stain that's on the clothing of one of the banoim mitzad echad. The halacha is even if it's on one side, vishel. The halach is to stain. Vishal bur, if the stain is on a bur, a person that's a leidigeir, then mishnei tzadim, it's only going to be considered a stain if it's going to be on both sides. Okay, so what do you see from here? That the only time something's considered a stain, if it's on the clothing of a bur, is if it went through both sides. So if that's the case, v'loy tehei mardas, chashuva mi bigdoy shel ama aretz. Maybe in ama aretz, his threshold of what's considered a stain is low. And therefore, if the stain goes through and through, only then is it considered a chatzitza. But you're going to tell me the saddle cloth that goes on the chamar is going to be more chamar? So if by the ama aretz, it's only a chatzitza if it's on both sides, then so too as it relates to the chamar, it's only going to be a chatzitza if it's on both sides. But what we want is the end of this Mishnah. It's interesting. So the Mishnah seems to say that when it comes to the world of chatzitza, this is a real halachic sugya. Meseches mikvayis. So you want to know what's considered a stain? It depends. Whose beged is it? Is this the beged of a boor, of a leidigeir, or is this the beged of a talmud chacham? If it's the beged or the beged of a banoim, I gave away the punchline. If it's the beged of one of the banoim, so then even if it's on one side, it's going to be considered a chatzitza. If it's the beged of an amma oretz, then it's only a chatzitza if it's on both sides. In other words, the threshold of makbid. Because that's what this all depends on. When is someone makbid on a stain? If you wanted the banoim, if it's on one side of the bag, it doesn't have to be deep embedded in the bag. That's enough. A boor doesn't care so much. So let's know, who is this banoim? It says, where my banoim? I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Shocking. Elu talmidei chachamis. Again, this is Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, for the fifth time on the Zomit, said, she'oiskin bebinyonei shaloylam kol yemeyem. Al tikrei banoyech elo boinoyech. Talmidei chachamim arbim sholem boilam shenema. Right? So the talmidei chachamim are considered banoim. No, and they're builders. What do they build? They build the world. Hashem said that he was ready to destroy the world, bring it back to Soyev Avayu. Had the Yidden happened, Mekabel the Torah. But the Yidden were Mekabel the Torah, and because they're Mekabel the Torah, so that's why we have a world today. But the Torah exists every single day. The oxygen of the Torah is it's the of the world is the Torah. So the Talmid Chachamim that learned Torah, they're Oiskin Bebinyanei Shel Olam, they're the Banoim, and they're the ones. So was it, why is the Banoim more Makdis Rabbi Yochanan L'Shitasai? Because Rabbi Yochanan said the Kol Talmud Chacham Shnimzer Ravav Abigdoy is Chayim Miso. So Rabbi Yochanan L'Shitasai said that a Talmud Chacham is going to be Makbid even if he has a little bit of a bag. Very geschmack. That's the hemshech. That's the segue over here. It's Rabbi Yochanan L'Shitasai who said that a Talmud Chacham has to be so careful not to have a revav al bigdai. So L'Shitasai, Rabbi Yochanan said that you see this idea that even in the world of chatzitza in Hilchas Mikvah is a chapsan afgamino, a revav that's nimtz on the beggar of a Talmud Chacham versus the rav that's a revav that's nimtz on the beggar of an ordinary person. From Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says a Talmud Chacham shemachzir lei aveda b'tvias ayin. What's an example of a Talmud Chacham shemachzir lei aveda? But tfiyas ayin, so the halach is, if somebody loses an aveda and it has a simen, so elam b'tziyah shaloi, So if you want to claim this Aveda, you're going to have to bring a Simen. You deliver a Simen, so then you can claim the Aveda. What if you go over to the person that found the Aveda, he said, listen, I'll be honest with you, I don't have a Simen, but I know it's mine. I know, I have a Tfiya Sayin, I know it's mine. So a Talmud Chacham gets an Aveda back with Tfiya Sayin. Ordinary people don't. So again, this is Rabbi Yochanan. He said, what's the definition of a Talmud Chacham? Shemachzirin loy Aveda b'Tfiya Sayin. So what did he say? This is a Talmud Chacham where if he puts on his shirt or his beged and something is not perfect, he's going to fix it. And if he fixes it, opens the button, closes the... No, if he fixes it, so that's when it's considered, that's a chashuv thing, and that's when a Talmud Chacham is machzir loy aveidasai b'tfiyas ayin. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, ezo Talmud Chacham manu eisa parnas al tzibur. What's an example of a Talmud Chacham that he deserves a shteller? He deserves shem manu eisa parnas al tzibur. See, at a different definition. This is someone you can ask him a question anywhere. In the entire Shas, he knows the answer. Even not Shas. Even some of the small Mesechtos, the Mesechtos that we don't have Gemara on, Mesechtos that are not part of the 2,711 Dafin of the Daf Yomi cycle. Even those Dafin he has to know. Even those Mishnais, those Brises. So he has to know everything. If he knows everything, he's a Talmud Chacham. Now at first glance, he can ask a Stira in Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yechon said, what's the definition of a Talmud Chacham shemachzirin le'aveda b'tfiya zayin? Zeha makbid al chalukah lehoivchay. And what's the definition of a Talmud Chacham? That he gets a shteller. See, Rabbi Yechon had a different definition. He has to know halacha is everywhere. And by the way, we're not finished. But Rabbi Yechon, what's an example of a Talmud Chacham where the chever have to work for him? They have to support him. This is a Talmud Chacham that all he does is learn Torah. I mean, the fact that he's a Talmud Chacham in of itself doesn't mean you have to support him. But if all he does is learn Torah, he's maniach cheftzoy va'oisek bechefzay shemayim. That's when you do the salacha. V'hani v'limich drifta. By the way, this is only to give him his basic necessities, but not luxuries. This is a third definition of a Talmud Chacham. Rabbi Yochanan wasn't finished. V'am Rabbi Yochanan ezo Talmud Chacham. What's an example of a Talmud Chacham? Kol sheshoyelim oisei halacha b'chol makav oimro. This is, you can ask him a question anywhere and he knows the answer. L'may nafkemina l'manuye parnes al atzibur. We just saw this earlier. To have a shtela, you have to know all the answers. Now the Gemara says like this: I bechadam nesechta ba'asrei. But you have to read the fine print. If the person knows one mesechta, you can give him a local job. But if he knows everything, then Bereish Mesifta, then he can become Rosh Yeshiva, like in Naharda, Surah, Masa Mechassia, the real yeshivas. So even then, he would have the ability, to get a shell. So what's going on? Rabbi Yochanan has four different definitions of a Talmud Chacham. I mean, which one is the Talmud Chacham? So the answer is really in the question. Because you see, every time Rabbi Yochanan posed this question of Ezo Talmud Chacham, he was talking about something else. Ezo Talmud Chacham shemachzir le'aveda b'tfiya zayin. Ezo Talmud Chacham shememan unoyse parnasam l'tzibur. Ezo Talmud Chacham shebnei iroi mitzuvin lasis le'melachta. So depending on what sugya you're learning, depending on what halachic area you're delving into, if there is a halacha that's impacted based on one being a Talmud Chacham, the definition of Talmud Chacham is going to vary. Not all Talmidei Chachamim were created equally. There's a Talmud Chacham in one sugya who might not be considered a Talmud Chacham in another sugya. So the definition of a Talmud Chacham varies. And it's for this reason, in Shulchan Aruch, you find in a few different places this idea that there's no Talmidei Chachamim bizmanenu. That today, nowadays, there's no such thing as a Talmud Chacham. So does that mean in every sugya in halacha, there's no such thing as a Talmud Chacham? So we mentioned in the past, the Poskim say no. Really, it varies sugya by sugya. You have to look at each individual sugya and no. This definition of a Talmud Chacham we may not have, but that definition of a Talmud Chacham is something we may have. We mentioned earlier in Masechta Shabbos, a tshuva from the Marsham. The Marsham was discussing the halacha that a Koyen isn't supposed to marry a Koyen, or a Bas Koyen shouldn't marry an Amma Aretz. There's an idea that a Bas Koyen shouldn't marry an Amma. And the Marsham was talking about this halacha, and somebody wrote a letter to him, and he said, oh, it's not a gaya today. He said, because today there's no Talmidei Chachamim anymore. So if there's no Talmidei Chachamim anymore, there's no idea finding a Kohen finding for his daughter. Because there's no such thing anyways. It's not something you have to worry about. So the Marsham wrote back to the Shoyal. He says, I couldn't stop laughing. I had a smile on my face the whole day. Because you want to make the whole world into Amaratzim. There's no such thing as a Talmud Chacham. No one ever said that. Yeah, there's different definitions, different standards of Talmud Chacham and different sugyas that maybe you don't meet. There's no such, every person in the whole world is an Amaratzim. Today, He said, like, Pasak Chucha Mitoich Pumi Kula Yoyma. When I read your tshuva, he said, you made my day, your tshuva. I couldn't stop laughing. Your mamish had such a tzad. I'll tell you one other interesting thing. What about as it relates to this idea that a Talmud Chacham should look in a certain way? So do you have this halacha that Talmud Chacham doesn't exist bizman hazeh? So it's Yodua that the Teferis Yisrael, Yochan Ubayas, Teferis Yisrael, it's a Masechtas Avodah Zarah. It's Perek Beis. So he talks about this. He says that the context over there is looking in a mirror. So there's an idea in Halacha, the Rishonim talk about this, maybe a man shouldn't look in a mirror. And the reason is because it says in the Torah that a man is not allowed to do anything that a woman does. Lo yilbash gever simlas isha. And Targum Onkel says it doesn't just mean don't wear a woman's clothing, but you shouldn't, you know, take care of yourself and conduct yourself in a way that a woman does. So the question was, what about looking in a mirror? So he said that, first of all, for Kavod Abriyas you're allowed to. God will Kavod Abriyas and all that raid. But then he says at the end that that being that there's a halacha that a Talmud Chacham shenimtza revav al bigdai chayev misa, so a Talmud Chacham has to be careful. And he said a Talmud Chacham should look in a mirror. And he says va'af te'ein talmidei chachamim bezman hazeh al kopanim, he says bezman hazeh shekavad ha-toyra ba'avineinu Beloizek far yarda achiranis eser milos. He said in his times, Kavod HaTorah wasn't like it used to be. So he says, Adarab, chiyav aleinu lahakpid al kvoido, levli lashvilo yoiser. We have to go out of our way to make sure that Kavod HaTorah doesn't fall even deeper. Veshia leschoik beine abrius al yadeze, lahachachi bechol haigav no mutter. And then he says, Vitzati dvar manal bialdusi, lefne avi moiri, hagoyin zatzal, vahoidel advar. He says, he told his father when he was younger, and his father was masking to this chiddish. He said that as it relates to a Talmud Chacham and Nimtza Revav al Bigdoy, this Gemara that we just learned, he says that even on the tzad that maybe there's no Talmud Chacham bezman hazeh, but certainly in this area you have to be more makbid. Because what's the whole idea? The idea is Kavod HaTorah. There's something called Kavod HaTorah. That's what this is about. And being that Kavod HaTorah, he felt that his dar was weaker or shvacher, he felt that we have to be mechazeged. So this is not an area where we should be more mekel bezman hazeh. He held to the contrary. This is an area where we should be more Machmer bizman hazeh, zokta gemara vaita. So returning, we paused for a minute, returning to the Mishnah Mikvayis that discussed a stain on a baguette and said that what if it's on one side, not on both sides? So it depends whose clothing it is. If it's the clothing of the banotim, then even on one side. If it's the clothing of the burim, then it would have to be on both sides. The banoi is a little bit more makbid. He's more particular. So if he has a stain on one side, he's already makbid. As a result, it's considered a chatzitz. So if he said, my banoim, so we saw the first pshat, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, Banoim are the Talmidei Chachamim, because they're the Altikrei Banoich Ela Boinoich. But there's a second shot. Rav Shimon ben Lakish Amar. Rav Shimon ben Lakish said, Elu Kelim Ha'u Yorim. These are the people that used to operate bathhouses. So they were somewhat infamous throughout Shas. But in this sugya, they were very makbid as far as the clothing that they wore. Ha'boim in Medina Sayam. They used to come from Medina Sayam, from overseas, and they were very makbid on their clothing. So if they would have a stain, even on one side, the halacha would be considered a chatzitza. Says the Gemara, the Meir de Chivarin. It sounds like that the begodim that these banam used to wear was white. Where do you see that? Because otherwise they wouldn't care so much about a stain. If you're wearing black clothing, so the stain doesn't show up so much. So if they were so worried about it, it was probably white. So the Gemara says, "His kadapi." Rabbi Yami told his sons, "Banai my sons, altik beruni." A classic Gemara. He said, "Don't bury me in tachrichim. Loi bekelim levanim, v'loi bekelim shchayim." He said, "I don't want white tachrichim, and I don't want black tachrichim. Levanim, I don't want white." Shemaloy eske ve'er kachasam ben avelim, because a chasam used to wear white clothing. So he said, what happens if I don't merit to go to Gan Eden Chalila? And he says, I'm going to be sitting between the Avelim and I'm going to be dressed like a chassan. I'm going to be dressed inappropriately. He said, Shchayrim, I don't want to wear Shchayrim either. Shema Eske Ve'eya. He says, to the contrary, maybe I will merit to go to Gan Eden and I'm going to look Ka'ava Ben Chassanim. I'm going to look silly again. I'm going to look at the other wearing black clothing. That's a sign of Avelos. I want to wear white. Ella, he said, you should put me on. What kind of clothing? Bekalim Hu'l Yorim Habam Ibn Asayam. I should wear Kalim Hu'l Yorim Habam Ibn Asayam. Give me I want to wear the same clothing that the chever that operated the bathhouse used to wear. So the Gemara says, you see that it wasn't white, and you see that it wasn't black. Now the Gemara says, so what color was it? I don't know, it could be any color, right? No, Alma Sumki Ninu. You see, it was red. So you go from not white, not black, to red. But the Gemara says must be that it was red. So what do you see from here? You see, it wasn't white. So if it wasn't white, why were they so machbid? So the Gemara says, like Kasha, Habin Kalimi, Habilavushi. One is talking about their shirts, and the other one is talking about the rest of their baguette. So apparently the shirt of these chevra were red, but the rest of the pants that they wore was white. So Rish Lakish was talking about their pants, and that's why it was white. And the machbid, even if the stain is only on one side, they're the banan, whereas Rabbi Yani was talking about their shirts. Incidentally, the Ravid in Yad Chazaka, the Ravid in the Hasaga is on the Rambam, brings a raya from this Gemara that Chias HaMeisim is Pshutai Kimashmoy. The Rambam has ambiguous language when he talks about Tchias HaMeisim. The Rambam seems to say that there's no guf, and there's no and there's no achila, and there's no shtiya, tzadikim yoishim, v'atresem bereshem, v'nenem ezev ashchino. And the Ravid told the Rambam, he says, how can it be this Gemaris, where the Gemaris says that people are going to stand up by Tchias HaMeisim, they're going to be wearing their clothing. And the Ravid quotes a few Gemaris, and this is one of the Gemaris, Rabbi Yanai. He told his children, al tik biruni lo bekelim levanu. What was he worried about? He wasn't worried about Shemayim, and Shemayim doesn't have his clothing. He was worried about when he gets up at Tchias HaMeisim, he's going to be wearing clothing. What's he going to be wearing? So this seems to be what he was worried about. But the Ravid in the Asagas HaRavid, he brings a raya in Hilchos Yisoidei HaTorah, or Hilchos Tshuva. He brings a raya from here. He brings a raya from here to this idea that you're going to get up. And the Rambam, of course, also held Tchias HaMeisim is with clothing. All the nice Kalim already talk about that. Shita San Rambam. The Inkan Mekoymoy Leharech Zok. The Gemara of Aitis. So again, returning back to the Mishnah. So there was another part to the Mishnah, and that Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, a Kachin part to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said that the halacha is Chelvei Shabbos, Craven b'yoyim ha-kippurim. Avoloi shol yoyim ha-kippurim b'shabbos. We were talking about folding clothing on Shabbos from Yom Kippur to Shabbos. So then we took a little bit of a left turn, which is going to be the focus of the second part of the daf. So chel ve-shabbos, any carbon that was burnt on Shabbos, the fats had to be burnt on the Mizbeach. So the question is, what if Shabbos falls out on Erev Yom Kippur, or Yom Kippur is on Matzoy Shabbos. So on Matzoy Shabbos, that's now Yom Kippur. Are you allowed to bring these fats? Are you not allowed to bring these fats? So the Chachamim said, Chel ve-Shabbos, this is Rabbi Shmuel talking, Chel ve-Shabbos, Kraven b'yom ha-Kippurim, you're allowed to bring the Chel ve-Shabbos on Yom Kippur, but the Chalavim of Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to bring on Shabbos. Yom Kippur falls out on Erev Shabbos, then it's not okay. Rabbi Kiva said, no, Loishal Shabbos, Kraven b'yom ha-Kippurim, v'yoishal Yom Kippurim, Kraven b'Shabbos. So again, a machloik is Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. Quint Rabbi Akiva, the fats of a carbon that was born on Shabbos, you can't be makriv on Yom Kippur. And the fats of a carbon that was born on Yom Kippur, you can't be makriv on Shabbos. Rabbi Shmuel says, no, there's a chiluk between going from Shabbos to Yom Kippur versus Yom Kippur to Shabbos. You can go from Shabbos to Yom Kippur. You cannot go from Yom Kippur to Shabbos. What's the difference? The difference is because as holy as Yom Kippur is, Shabbos Kodesh is more Kodesh than Yom Kippur. It's more Kaddish. How do you know that? If someone's Mechal Shabbos, Bemezid, Edom, and Asar, he's Chayiv Skilo. If someone's Mechal Yom Kippur, he's only Chayiv Karis. Skilo is more Chamer than Karis. So you see clearly that Kedusha Shabbos is more than Kedusha Yom Kippur. So if someone brought a carbon on Shabbos, and you want to bring the fats on Yom Kippur, so it's like bringing the fats on a weekday relative to Shabbos, a lesser Kedusha. That's something you can do. But if you want to go from Yom Kippur to Shabbos, this is like a vachendige carbon, and you're going to bring the fats on Shabbos, you can't do that. You can't stop burning things on Shabbos. It's Shabbos. It involves malacha. Okay, so you're allowed to do it, but not a vachendige carbon. You tell me it's a vachendige carbon? This is a Yom Kippur digger carbon. It's the Yom HaKadosh Alein. Yeah, but Shabbos, believe it or not, is more Kadosh than Yom Kippur. And if it's more, that's Rabbi Shmuel Shita. Rabbi Kiva says, no, this is one and the same. Shabbos, Yom Kippur, and Shabbos, it's all the same. And as a result, according to Rabbi Akiva, it makes no difference if you're going this way or that way. Meaning, either way, it's not good. Loishal Shabbos, Kreven Yom HaKippurim, but Loishal Yom HaKippurim, Kreven Bish Shabbos. Zokhtumar, Tanur Rabban, a braisa that explain Shita's Rabbi Shmuel, Shita's Rabbi Akiva. It says in the Pasuk, Oilas Shabbos, Bishabatoi, we all know the pasuk, al oilas hatamid veniska. So what does oilas Shabbos bishabatoi mean? You should bring the oil of a Shabbos on Shabbos. This is an extra pasuk. And Chazal saw from here, limit al chavu shlomim, chavu Shabbos, shekreven b'yom ha-kippurim. It's coming to say a chiddush that the oil of a Shabbos could be brought not only on Shabbos, but bishabatoi, on a different Shabbos. Yom Kippur is also called Shabbos. So you can bring the oil of a Shabbos on Yom Kippur. Yochel, I would think, obviously, Yom Kippur Shabbos, I would think you should bring the oil of Yom Kippur on a Shabbos as well. Tamalei bishabatoi. Bishabatoi, the vav is a miyot. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel has a riboy to be marbo that you could bring the chelvei Shabbos on Yom Kippur, and then he has a miyot that you cannot bring the chelvei Yom Kippur on Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva, same pasuk, different formulation. Oilas Shabbos bishabatoi, limeid al chelvei Shabbos, shekreven beyontiv. not Chelvei Shabbos a craven Yom HaKippurim, but rather Chelvei Shabbos a craven B'Yontif. Yontif is certainly a lesser Madrega of Kedusha than Shabbos. And as a result, you can bring the Chalavim of Shabbos on Yontif. Yoch Lap Yom HaKippurim. You would think on Yom Kippur, like Rabbi Shmuel said, Tamalayma B'Shabbat, that's where he draws the line. Shabbat is given idiot. In other words, Oila Shabbos is marba that you can bring the Chelvei Shabbos even not on Shabbos. The question is, when can you bring it? So what's this riboy? And it's on a Shabbos, meaning the riboy is not Yom Chol, because the deal is Oilas Shabbos b'Shabbat. You can bring the oil of a Shabbos carbon, on a Shabbos. So what's this riboy? According to Rabbi Shmuel, b'Shabbat is l'Rabbis Yom Kippur. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's l'Rabbis Yontif. Therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, you can't bring the oil of a Shabbos on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara explains the machloikis. The Hezber is as follows. Rabbi Shmuel and Darma Davos Kriva Yontif. According to Rabbi Shmuel, you're always allowed to bring carbon. You can bring any carbon you want on Yontif. So if you're allowed to bring any carbon on Yontif, is it a chiddush that the Chelvei Shabbos would crave on Yontif? You can bring a nether on Yontif. You can bring a nadav on Yontif. So certainly you could bring these chalavin as well. So v'chi yitzrach kroft, there's a ribu b'yom kippurim. Must be it's come to you marry yom kippur. Rabbi Kiva and Darman Davos ain't gram yontif. Whereas Rabbi Kiva, you're not let to bring the Darman Davos on yontif. So if that's the case, then you have to be marba the lesser chiddush. Tafasta muit tafasta. Tafastam rubaloi tafasta. So ila Shabbos b'shabbato, it could be marba yontif, could be marba Shabbos. Yontif is less Kodesh than Shabbos, so you take the lesser chiddush, and therefore, therefore, what we're going to be marba is we're going to be marba yontif. Amar Rab Zera, when I was in Bavel, so we know Rab Zera lived in Bavel, and then Rab Zera went to Eretz Yisrael. He had to hide from his Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda was not happy with the fact that he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara talks about it in a bunch of places. This was a covert mission in the middle of the night, Balel Shemurim, and Rab Zera went to Eretz Yisrael. But Rab Zera says, you know, when I was younger, when I was a youth, Keavina Bebavel, Havri Amri, they used to say, Hodu Tani, we learned in a Braiso, Yemek, Mushachal, yes, Erev Shabbos, Yom Kippur falls out on Erev Shabbos. And again, this is not Noyuk Bezman Azeh, because nowadays, Yom Kippur will never fall out on an Erev Shabbos, it'll never fall out on a Sunday. Fall out on a Shabbos, but not on an Erev Shabbos and not on a Mitzvah Shabbos. So the Yom Kippur Shchol is Erev Shabbos, Yom Kippur falls on an Erev Shabbos. Like, how you taking? They didn't blow Shofar. So if you recall, earlier in the Masechta, in the end of Perakir, we talked about the Sheish Tkiyos, the sixth Tkiyos that they used to blow every Erev Shabbos. The main purpose of it was to get people to stop doing Malacha. So Yom Kippur that falls on an Erev Shabbos, they didn't blow Ube Mitzvah Shabbos. Like, how you Mavdilin? And when Yom Kippur fell on Erev Shabbos, there was no Avdallah. Now you're not going to make Avdallah and drink the Avdallah. That's can't drink. But even Atochen Antonu, you didn't even say Havdalah in Shmoyna Esrei. So in Babel, they used to say Divrei Hakoili, that everybody was of this opinion. Sai Rabbi Yishmael and Sai Rabbi Akiva. Meaning, Sai Rabbi Akiva, who holds there's no difference in Kedusha between Shabbos and Yom Kippur, you can't bring the Chalavim on Shabbos Yom Kippur, you can't bring the Chalavim on Yom Kippur on Shabbos. And Sai Rabbi Yishmael, who holds that there is a difference between Kedusha of Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is less Kaddish, Shabbos is more Kaddish. Nafkaminis, Chelvei Shabbos craving Yom HaKippurim, Chelvei Yom HaKippurim ain't craving B'Shabbos. But you still look in the Hassam. When I came to Yisrael, Lashkachte Lu, Yehuda Bereid, Rabbi Shimon Ben Pazi, Yosef Kamer. I met Yehuda Bereid, Rabbi Shimon Ben Pazi, and he said the following, Rabbi Akiva, no, it's not true, this is not according to everybody. This is only true according to Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbi Yishmael, because according to Rabbi Yishmael, being that Shabbos is more Kaddish than Yom Kippur, and there's a Nafkamina Lahalocha. What's the Nafkamina Lahalocha? Chelvei Shabbos craving Yom HaKippurim. Chelvei Yom HaKippurim ain't craving the Shabbos. So you have to blow Shofar. You know why you're blowing Shofar? To know this is not the same Kedusha. And there are actually Nafkaminas Lahalocha. So, even the Amar, Chelvei Shabbos craving Yom HaKippurim, Liska, you blow Shofar, Gehech, Rabbi Yadi, the Chelvei Shabbos craving Yom HaKippurim. Meaning, the assumption was, what if I blow Shofar? The whole idea of blowing Shofar is to know that Shabbos is coming. That's the idea. Shabbos, we usher in the Shabbos. We allow the chevra to know that a holy day is coming. But it's anyways a holy day. What difference does it make? Why do I have to blow from Shabbos to Yom Kippur? It doesn't make any sense. But he said, or from Yom Kippur to Shabbos. It's one and the same. But according to Rabbi Yishmael, it's not one and the same. I mean that it's not one and the same. So therefore, this is what, if I mean Olay, I know, but I told him back, is I disagree with you. You're going to tell me you have to blow Shofar from Yom Kippur to Shabbos to know the halachas of the chalavim? Kayhanim's reason, hey. Yeah, the people that are working out in the fields, they need assistance. They need chizuk. They need a reminder. So you blow shofar to know it's Shabbos. But to blow shofar to know that there's a difference in Yom Kippur and Shabbos, Where's it Negeya? The burning the fats? That's only Negeya Kayanim. Only a Kayan's allowed to do that. So if only a Kayan's allowed to do that, and the Kayanim has reasoned him, Kayanim were never going to make this kind of mistake. So therefore, I told him back, I disagree with you, and it must be that this halach is according to him. Is it true Kayanim has reasoned him? I mean, do we make the assumption that the Kayanim are never going to make a mistake specifically? They'll be Michal Shabbos by mistake, but time we learn to the Mishnah, Sholish Lahaftalas Amin Melach, Sholish Lahaftal Ben Kodesh Lachoyal, that this Mishnah is a Mesach to Sukkah, it's talking about the Tkiyas that they had in the Beis HaMikdosh. And it says clearly there were Tkiyas in the Beis HaMikdosh. This is on a regular Erev Shabbos. Sholish Lahaftalas Amin Melach, Vesholish Lahaftal Ben Kodesh Lachoyal, who's doing malacha in the Beis HaMikdash. This is all Kayanim. So you see that even though Kayanim is reasoning, they still have to know. So maybe here too they had to know. But the one says, Kudam Rabbi L'Sha'am D'Bishalayim, Rabbi once explained, different context, Gemara and Yuma, that no, sometimes they blew shofar, or they did things in the Beis HaMikdash to notify the Chevron Yerushalayim, even though it didn't really impact the people in Yerushalayim. The people in the Beis HaMikdash, but it was negei all of Yerushalayim. Hachanami Soto over here, L'Sha'am Amid Yerushalayim, it's negei everybody else in Yerushalayim. So again, we're saying now that they didn't blow shofar Erev Shabbos, Shecholiyos Yom HaKippurim. So if Yom Kippur falls out on Erev Shabbos, they didn't blow shofar. And there was no reason. First, the Rav Zeira wasn't sure. Ashak Levatayr, is this only true according to Rabbi Akiva? Is also true according to Rabbi Shmuel? According to Rabbi Shmuel, but they should blow shofar. You should know the laws of the fats of all the chalavim. But either way, this is the context of it. So the Gemara says, Veliska, I don't understand. I think you should blow shofar. You know why? Kihechi Daledu. The Gemara invokes here a very obscure halacha that's going to take us very quickly until the end of the parak. And that is, there's a halacha that on Shabbos, you're not allowed to peel the leaves of a vegetable that went bad. So if you have spoiled leaves, you're not allowed to take it off on Shabbos. Consider it a tercha. It's not something you're allowed to do on Shabbos. On Yom Kippur, you're allowed to do it. Why? What would be Pashup Shad? So the reason is very interesting. The Gemara is going to say it at the very end of the daf. The reason is, Vipnei Agmas Nefesh. Because we want people to yeah, what are you supposed to do on Yom Kippur? You're supposed to feel pain. We want people to feel hungry. That's the idea. If you can do something that will make you hungry, work in the kitchen. Gesunte het. Adarab, smell the food. Let it tempt you that you're playing right into what we want you to do and what we want you to feel. So Shabbos, no, it involves tircha. Yom Kippur, mipnei agmas nefesh, adarab, work in the kitchen. So there's an idea that knivas yorok, chopping off these bad leaves of the vegetable, is something you're allowed to do on Yom Kippur. Now you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos, which means Yom Kippur and Shabbos are not exactly the same. So if Yom Kippur falls out on Erev Shabbos, you should blow shofar. You know why? You can't do knivas hayerek. There's a malacha. There's something you're allowed to do on Yom Kippur that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. So Amar Rav Yosef Gemara gave two reasons why this is not a good enough reason to blow shofar. I mean, it sounds like you're going to blow shofar for knivas hayerek, but again, maybe once upon a time this was a very big deal. So Rav Yosef said, "Lafisha ein doichin shfus lahater." You're not going to go ahead and you're not going to blow shofar, which is a shvus, and you're going to do this all to be mefarsim a heter. Meaning, it seems like the fact that people know that you're not allowed to do knivas ayarik on Shabbos, that you don't need a reminder for. It's more of a reminder that Yom Kippur is different, that you're allowed to do it on Yom Kippur. See, you're going to blow shofar for the heter, that doesn't make sense. Rav Sheshi B'edu Avidiyah might say a different reason. Shvus kreve hitiru, shvus rechayka loy hitiru. This halach is not negeya, this Yom Kippur anyway, says the Gemara. It says, why? Because being that Yom Kippur fell out on Erev Shabbos, so you anyways wouldn't be allowed to cut the knivas ayarik for Shabbos. That's the halacha. So being that you couldn't do it for this Shabbos anyways, the reason is because they used to cook these vegetables. And you can't cook the vegetable on Shabbos. So it's anyways not negeya this year. So you're going to do it for a year where it is negeya. Meaning blow shofar between Yom Kippur and Shabbos. So people know there's a difference between Yom Kippur and Shabbos. What are people going to know? They know it's us at Knivas Ayarek and Shabbos. Don't know there's a heter Knivas Ayarek and Yom Kippur. Is it negeya this Yom Kippur? No. I'm not going to blow shofar, violate a shvus. You're playing an instrument, right? I'm not going to blow shofar, violate a shvus, so that next year, right, blowing shofar is like playing an instrument. Right? That's the Taz's famous kasha. The Taz has a kasha. He says, I don't understand. You're not supposed to play instruments on Shabbos. Why can't you play music on Shabbos? Why no instruments on Shabbos? Because you're afraid that it's going to break. And Shemi Yisak and Kli Shir. You may go ahead and fix it. So it's only Gzeres Chazal. Shemi Yavrieno Dal Ramas Peshus Arabim. Ashfuye Gumois. This is another one. Shema Yisakin Klimonim. We're afraid that you may fix it. And being that you may fix it, it's afraid to Taz. Why do you blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? You're playing with an instrument. A shofar is not an instrument. What if it breaks? You may go ahead and fix it. So what happened to Shema Yisakin Klimonim? And you're going to tell me, oh, because you can't be doicha tkiya shofar? What do you mean? We're doicha tkiya shofar. What happens when a Shana falls down on Shabbos? You don't blow Shofar. Why not? Shema Yavi Renu Dalan Amos B'Shisar Rabim. So if you can be Mevatel Shofar because of Shema Yavi Renu Dalan Amos B'Shisar Rabim, why can't you be Mevatel Shofar because of Shema Yisakin Klimana? This is the Taz's Kasha. And for the Taz, a tremendous Yisoid, he says this a few times. And the Mechas Chinuch brings this, and this, in the world of Raid, this is like a cornerstone Shita of the Taz. And says the Taz, the reason is, because the Chachamim have a right to be Mevatel Mitzvahs, sometimes. But the Chachamim don't have a right to be Mevatel Mitzvahs all the time. That's not something you have a right to do. So to say that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, no Tkiyah Shofar, okay. But if it falls out on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, there'll be Tkiyah Shofar. So no. But to say that because Hashem Yisakin Klimana, you can never blow Shofar, the Chachamim can't take a pasuk in the Torah and decide because of a gezeirah. That's not something the Chachamim ever have a right to. This is the Yesod of the Taz. That the Chachamim had a right. The Chachamim had a right to be mevatel. They had a chachamim to be mevatel mitzvahs some of the time, but they didn't have a right to be mevatel mitzvahs all of the time. But either way, blowing shofar involves a shvos. It involves an issa derabanan. Really, it's not something you're allowed to do. Shema Yisakin Klimana. So there's an issue. So to go ahead on Yom Kippur that falls out on Erev Shabbos. So why are you blowing shofar? I'm going to tell you why. Because it's Yom Kippur, Shabbos. The Olam has to know it's not the same kedusha. Does it really matter? What's the difference? Well, the difference is, yeah, Yom Kippur you can peel vegetables, and on Shabbos you can't peel vegetables. Now, so you're going to blow shofar to tell people you can peel vegetables? Rabbi Yosef says, that makes me uncomfortable. Ein doichin shvus lahater. You want to be doichin shvus for something, not for a heter, for a chumrah, not for a gula. Rav Sheshu Eid Rabbi said, even more partial. He said, this year it's not a gay because you're not cutting vegetables, you're not cooking anyways now. He said, this is a moot point. LMI, when's it going to be a gay? It's going to be a gay next Yom Kippur. Ein Shvus Kreve Hitiru, Shvus Rechaikolite. Afraid to Yomar, is that true? Shvus Kreve Hitiru, the time we went to the Mishnah, Yantav Shchalias Erev Shabbos, Yantav Falls and an Erev Shabbos, Toikin, they used to blow Shofar. So we're going from Yom Kippur and Shabbos to Yantav and Shabbos. So they would blow Shofar, that's simple. Why do they have to blow Shofar? Because there's a lot of malachas you're allowed to do on Yantav, you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, that's easy. Malachas Eichel Nefesh. But Veloy Mavdilin, but they didn't, but there was no Havdalah. So there's no Havdalah from Shabbos to Yontif, from Yontif to Shabbos. Meaning, if you don't make Havdalah Friday night, right? You're not going to make Havdalah Friday night from Yontif to Shabbos. Mitzoy Shabbos, what if Yom Tov doesn't matzah Shabbos? Mavdilin. Then you do make Havdalah, V'loy Taikin, and they didn't blow Shofar. Afraid to Gemara, why didn't you blow Shofar? Why is it that you don't blow Shofar? Liska, you should blow Shofar. Geicha, the lady, the Shofar, B'Shchita, La'alter. To know that now you're allowed to do Shchita. You should blow Shofar from Shabbos to Yontif to know that, oh, Shabbos, you weren't allowed to do Shchita. You're not allowed to do any Melechas Eichel Nefesh. And now all of a sudden you're to do Melechas Eichel Nefesh. So what must be the reason? El Machvar Tekid Rav Yosef. It must be like Rav Yosef said. Fisha Ein Doichin Shvus Lahater. So you see from here that there's this concept of Ein Doichin Shvus Lahater. Amrav Zeir, Amrav Huna, Va'amilo, Amrav Abba, Amrav Huni, Yemikmun Shechalias, B'Shabbos, Asa B'Kni Vasir. So we said you're not allowed to cut these leaves off the vegetables on Shabbos. You are allowed to do it on Yom Kippur. What happens if Shabbos falls down on Yom Kippur? So could you do it then? Not Friday, not Sunday. It fell out on, like we have today, on the Yom, on Shabbos itself. So on the one hand, it's Shabbos, it should be awesome. But then again, we want you to feel the pain. So it's Yom Kippur. You want to work in the kitchen? Adarabba. V'nisim esnaf sheseichem. So what's the halacha? Omer amon otonim. V'nayim Yom Kippur shecholiyis b'Shabbos shos b'knivis ha'yerek. Hey, if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, you can't do knivis ha'yerek. Tamadoyim eshabbosoin. Shvois, we learn it from the word shabbosoin. No, my ilim ilim halacha is that coming to teach me in this halacha. V'aksiv, we know you're not allowed to do halacha on Yom Kippur. It's probably coming to teach me this halacha shmamino that if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, no knivas ayerek. I'm Rabbi Chibar Abba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. I'm Kippur Shcholias b'Shabbos. Mutter be knivas ayerek. Not also mutter. Meis feminad. I'm Kippur Shcholias b'Shabbos. Also knivas ayerek. Tamodem Shabbosin shvois. Lemay the same brayso. When the pasuk says Shabbosin, it's coming to teach me rest from something. What? Either in the malacha is it coming to teach me to rest from malacha? Vaksiv loy sase kol malacha. Elola be knivas ayerek. It must be coming to tell me. So how could you tell me mutter knivas ayerek? Eric, you see from the pasuk Shabbos, the Mar says, "Loi on the malach." Really, when it says Shabbos, it's coming to teach me malach. From leisase kol malach, I would only know a leisase. This is coming to teach me even an asay. Tanya kavasid Rabbi Yochanan. Yoi makipurim shchalias b'Shabbos. Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos. Mutter be'knivas ayerek. You let it cut off these leaves. not only that, mefatzim begoizim, you let her break nuts, the shells, umefarkasim berimayim, you can take off the peel from the pomegranates, menamin cholamayla, but only later in the day, mepnei agmas nefesh, and the reason is because agmas nefesh is what we mentioned earlier. You want agmas nefesh, you can have agmas nefesh. Devei Rabbi Yehuda mekanvi karba, in Rabbi Yehuda's house, what they used to do on Yom Kippur is, they would mamish, imagine, I know there was time, davening, but they found time to the bnei beisoy anyways, of Rabbi Yehuda, so they would mekanvin kruv, they would chop up kruv, says the Gemara, Devei Rabba Gardi Kari. In Rabba's house, what they would do is they would take pumpkins and they would cut it up. Keep it the chazit, that would come a charfi. But then Rabba said they were doing it too early, because we said you could do it in a minchal amayla. Can't do it through Amalusi. He told him, Asi, Gartim in Marovish, made Rabbi Yochanan Asir. He said, I received a letter from Eretz Yisrael that from Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, it's awesome. This way he got them to stop doing it. Hadron Allah, the Eluk Sharim. Just to end with one very, very short aura, got laid early, but literally, but they're blowing shofar already. But just one short ha'ara, and that is, so we spoke this morning, and really the theme of the last staff and a half is the idea of the pasuk in Sefer Yeshaya, that Shabbos has to be different. And you walk differently, and you dress differently, and you even talk differently. Rabbeinu Tam says you're not supposed to talk so much, because it's a different day. It's Shabbos, and because it's Shabbos, everything on Shabbos has to be different. Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, in his famous Siddur, his Siddur Yaivitz, so he talks about Shabbos, and he says Shabbos has to be different. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, the ain't tzarich loymer, I quote, shalayatrit atzmai belimud hagemara ba'oimik. A person is not allowed to learn too much bi'iyun on Shabbos. Shegam zeh nechshav chilul Shabbos. Rabbi Yaakov Emden didn't say this. Nobody could say this. But said Rabbi Yaakov Emden in his Siddur that learning too much bi'iyun, getting too much into the lumdis, is considered chilul Shabbos. He says, the Gemara aruchihi, he brings a ride from a Gemara that we're going to learn next week. We'll save that Gemara. But says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, the idea is that every single aspect of your life on Shabbos is supposed to be different than it is during the week. There isn't supposed to be one thing that's supposed to be the same. So you're supposed to dress differently, you're supposed to talk differently, you're supposed to walk differently, you even have to learn differently. Even your Limud HaTorah, it should be more be'in generally, but when it comes to this, it's not supposed to be so be'in. And there's a comment from Yaakov Emden in his Agoyis Yaivitz, in Mesachtis Gittin Daf Samach Amar Aleph. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish Ma'ini B'Sifra Da'agadot B'Shabbato. They used to learn Agada to Gemara on Shabbos. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, what was this Agada to Gemara that they used to learn? So he says, it's not what we know as Agada to Gemara. Near at least Sefer, shall you ksuvim by Sisrei Torah, shall Chochmas HaEmes, Kegoin, Sefer HaZoyar. Like the Sefer HaZoyar. Umasha anu kairim Kabbalah, shall you nimsarim the Kadmoinim b'Megillah Starim. Says Rabbi Yaakov, why did they learn Kabbalah? Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, we don't know Kabbalah from Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is Lundus. Where did you get Kabbalah? Says Rabbi Yaakov, b'Shabbos lehoyo oiskim b'hem. They didn't get involved in Lundus because it's too intense. And they wanted something lighter. Kabbalah was a little lighter. But he says, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that's why they learned Agadata. They didn't learn the regular Lumdus because it was Shabbos. And on Shabbos, everything is supposed to be different. And then I saw the next line. He says, Ukiyotze bedavar, bekoshi hitiru. He says, you find, v'oi, you have to talk. L'chein al-koponim tzarech l'shanu yisboi. You have to be careful with the way you talk. Because if you can't even learn, so certainly when it comes to your talk, it has to be different. And therefore, Chazal said, "Bedoichik they were matter to say shalom aleichem." And he says, even though we say shalom aleichem, al kopanim tzarech l'shanu yisbay. You say shalom aleichem differently. For example, you say Shabbat Shalom or Shabbos Toiv, but you shouldn't say Shalom Aleichem. It should be a Shinu. So we mentioned this morning for Rabbi Yaakov Emden in the Zemes LeYaakov, it's in the Siddur Yaivitz. He was mechavan to Rabbi Yaakov Emden, was Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. And he was mechavan to Rabbi Yaakov Emden, who says clearly that you shouldn't say Shalom Aleichem. You say Good Shabbos, Shabbat Shalom. It's based on the Medrash and the Psik de Rabbasi and the Yerushalmi. Shabbos is different. You don't even say Shalom Aleichem in the same way. You don't learn Torah in the same way. He says that's why you don't daven for a Chayla on Shabbos. Why don't we daven for Chayla on Shabbos? Shabbos, he made he says, you don't have to talk so much. Shabbos, you talk less. Everything's supposed to be different. Either way, on that note, a good night of Shabbos.